You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about instant rapport for powerful relationships. What is rapport?
It's how you feel in the stuff with somebody.
How you get along with somebody, right? How the ease of which you connect. Connection, rapport. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a French word.
Rapport.
Rapport. Because there's no T. You don't pronounce the T at the end.
Report.
Right? That if it was an English word, it'd be report. You know, it's... So we think it may be French. We don't know. Who knows? Right? We don't know. But what it is how do you get along with somebody else? How do you build a camaraderie? A camaraderie?
That's his other word.
How does someone become your comrade, your confidant, your connected person that you can share information with, that you get along, you feel comfortable, at ease talking with, you feel like you get along. And it doesn't mean that you have to be the same type of person, but it's how do you figure out instantly how to get along with somebody?
Yeah.
So do you remember we did this presentation? We did this presentation in, was that Camden? Camden, New Jersey, at a church. And the idea was that people wanted to be able to communicate better with more people. Mm-hmm. Part of it was we wanted to help people who were maybe looking for a job or people who had relationships, people who wanted to just interconnect with new people. How could they get along quicker? Mm-hmm. How could they get along faster? How could they get into that state of being in good communication? So we developed this program for that. Let's see how that starts here. So a lot of times our conversations that we have with people, say in business, are through technology. You know, how many hours do we each spend invested in technology, sending emails, going on a phone, text messages, WhatsApp?
Teams, Zoom, video.
Oh my gosh, Teams and Zoom, right? And how personal does that connection feel?
It's different.
So some of getting along with other people is trying to find commonality, right? So you're trying to find commonality. During COVID, it might have been, how are you doing? Are you home? You guys back at work? No, you're working remote. And you try to find something that you have in common.
But also one of the behavior that I see in comparison to do, for example, myself for in outed, mm-hmm. when we visit the company, maybe you can talk any other topic longer and go to work. When you are in the meeting in Zoom or in team, it's no time to talk for personal stuff. So you go directly just to work. If you don't have nothing to do, you shut down the computer or the connection and the next meeting and you do the same. So it's maybe more efficient for work, but you lose the really personal connection.
Well, the other thing is think about, like you just said, is the personal connection goes. If there's a group meeting on Teams or a group meeting on Zoom and you've got 12 people in the meeting, you can't have six individual conversations with two people. So you can only have one conversation, right?
Yeah, nobody can come in between two because everybody has to be quiet, just one person talk.
So in a normal meeting environment, you might be in a conference room or a lunch room or down at the bar or at the ballpark.
Yeah.
You get to talk to somebody for a few minutes, someone else for a few minutes. You get to meet and greet. You break the ice. You'll probably hear that a lot, right? Breaking the ice. How do you break the ice in a meeting? How do you break the ice when you first meet somebody?
Yeah.
In these type of electronic communications, you don't have that opportunity.
No, you go directly to the
go right into the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I need to be on 12 Zoom meetings today. Because I can't get into the office, I can't go visit somebody. we've continued on, though, haven't we?
I don't say it's bad or good. It's different, and then it can become more efficient because
the more efficient, more effective.
More effective, but you lose personal connection.
So you get right down to business and have no personal connection. So how do you know if then that connection you have that is missing, that personal connection, how do you know when you get to business if when you are doing business, you're doing the best for that other person? So if you're trying to like have a win-win situation, but you don't have the ability to communicate as much as you would normally,
yeah.
How do you get a real win-win situation?
The ability has to start for electronic or technology way, you have to develop a different kind of the skill to connect, because...
You ever find yourself researching the company, the people, see if they have an employee page, try to understand a little bit about them, the culture,
yeah,
maybe the background of the people you're dealing with?
Your technology, I call the print, the field, digital...
Digital investigation?
Can be because
digital fingerprint.
Yes, because in this way you can see any kind of post, any kind of like that you do, create frame to personality. So your personality. So that's the way they say, okay, these people posting this, you can figure out who is the person.
Which brings us to another thing is that, say, Facebook, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You post on Facebook, someone else does. People post pictures of themselves, maybe a little bit about where they ate, maybe something they did with
a
some
cat,
friends.
A dog.
Right.
Yes, a joke. Yeah.
But you find that, say you like have 500 friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You really start filtering out like whose posts are interesting, how they deal with their family I really support. I'm not that interested because the way they're going in what they do, it goes against my beliefs. It goes against my politics, or, you know, they're in a different area of the country and it doesn't really, you don't understand it. Like someone's into, they always talk about real estate in Boise, Idaho. Like, I know.
Somebody's posting food and wine.
Oh, food somewhere. And wine. Food and wine reviews.
Okay, so that's describe your personality.
So describes personality. So what we're doing now is we're trying to understand the personality of the other person,
mm-hmm.
which in person meeting, when you meet with somebody in person, it's easier to do. But I still say that we don't do a lot to establish those backgrounds mm-hmm. and underlying information in order to have good communication, which would help us with rapport. So part of rapport is trying to build those underneath connections rapidly at first, so you know how to better communicate with each other in their language. We'll talk about what that means, their language.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean if they speak Spanish and you speak German that you speak in Spanish to them. But if they understand marketing and they have dogs and they have a family, you start understanding a little bit about their maybe personality, their psychology, their traits, their likes, their wants, their desires.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you communicate, if you communicate in a way that links what you're saying to what they already know, you can better communicate rather than say things that they have no understanding of. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I think I might have talked to you, but I talked to someone at work.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they're working on an even keel. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, even keel. It's when you're sailing, you have a keel underneath the boat. And when it's even, it keeps the boat upright and it's smoother sailing. And that if it's not an even keel, the boat's like this. And so if you use an expression that someone's never heard of because you're using references from your culture, background, family, area of the country, language, upbringing, and not theirs, there's a lack of communication. What else there? So we just talked about are those electronic relationships through Facebook and through LinkedIn and through Zoom and Teams? Are relationships established in that way, actual relationships?
Sure.
Well, the sharing here is if you don't know this. So in order to know the other person, what do you need to first do? Know yourself. In order to connect, you need to know about yourself first. And this is very important because this allows you to figure out how you are going to communicate with somebody else based upon what you already know. Who are you? What do you want? Where are you going? So it's who are you? Where you are in your life? How you got to where you are? And where do you want to go? Are important questions to ask. And I think we've always talked about that. So this takes a little bit of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. It's a simple question, but it's tricky, you know?
So what we're doing right now, we're going to establish a little bit about ourselves through introspection, through observation, auto-observation, learn about ourselves. But everything we're going to do for ourselves, we also want to understand those concepts and try to understand that about someone else. So here, the exercise that we typically do in a class setting, we look at sitting down, describing who you are. I'm a middle-aged, 50-plus male. I do this. My background is engineering, psychology, and business. And you go through the description of who you are. But that also might be, I'm kind, I'm generous, I'm athletic, I enjoy spending time with others. I have a sense of humor, at least I think I do.
Okay.
Okay, but you describe, and you can always do it this way too, is ask a friend, how would you describe me? Mm-hmm. And they would tell you.
Yeah, it's different. It's how you see yourself versus some people see you.
Right, so your outward actions, and last week we talked about your actions, and not what you believe, but your actions is what other people see. They don't see your beliefs. Mm-hmm. They see your beliefs that become action, and that we're human actions, we're not human beings. Right, so people see what we do, what we say we're going to do, and if we do what we say we're going to do, right? Do you walk the talk? Are you congruent? Mm-hmm. The next thing was identify what you want in your life. You know what I want? I want to spend time with my wife. I want to have good family relationship. I want to enjoy my vacations. I want to exercise and be in good health. I want my full head of hair to grow in. Okay, some things may be stretch goals, right?
Exactly.
Stretch. I'm stretching for that goal. I have one hair right here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, there it is.
Okay,
hold on. Let me wind it up there. The envision, and we talked about this last week as well, you envision where you want to go in life. So it's not only what you want to do right now, but where do you want to go? We want to take these series of vacations. We want to make sure that our kids are happy and successful in their lives and that they enjoy. Not that we can control what they do, but we can. I mean, but that is like, how do we want to, like, what influence do we want to have, right? So yeah. Part of our mission and vision might be we want to influence positively others. We want to help educate others, and that's our children, our family, and our audience, and our friends, and ourselves. We want to influence ourselves to grow and learn more things so we understand more and perhaps can have a better impact.
Yeah, because I guess typical people say, I want to help others, but the important is help yourself first, and the moment that you help yourself, you can help others.
That's true.
Is this something that is really deep and is infinite, because would you never finish to improve, but if every day you do something for yourself, you do for everybody.
Right, and that's the, like the mountain climber whose friend is starting to slip on the mountain. And they take their rope and they throw it to the guy who's slipping. The guy pulls it and they both tumble over the mountain. Rather than the mountain climber sees their friend slipping, they tie their rope up the hill, secure themselves. Then they give their rope to their friend and they've taken care of themselves so they can take care of the other.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure there's 100 examples like that. After we have the mission and vision of what we want to do, what do we need to do?
Create
the plan on how to get there. Again, describe who you are, which is very difficult. What do we find in these seminars and webinars and trainings that we do that it's really difficult?
Yeah.
People really don't think about it that often.
And invest time. So it's something that you need to do many times.
And it changes, right? From mm-hmm. year to year, as you grow, as you change, as your likes and dislikes change.
You are
change,
a different person.
Your environment changed, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Let's see what else we have here.
So how you do the plan?
How do you do the plan? Okay. Yeah, I have to get to the right screen here.
Okay.
So we want to connect who we are to our plan. So we start off with looking at who we are. What's our spirit? What's our belief? What are our beliefs? What do we feel from a spirit sense, from a what this world's about? So we have a general like understanding. This is always with us, right? So those are the underlying beliefs. They might even include our values. What do we value?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts. You know, what do we think about different things? What are the emotions we feel? What are we, you know, who we are from a mind-body standpoint? And again, as we talked about being human actions rather than human beings, what are the actions we do? What do we like to do? What do people see us doing? But we go through this thing, and when we come back, we'll go through it a little bit more about how to connect who we are to our plan. And once we do that and create this big picture for us, and that becomes a stable stake in the ground, it allows us to understand how we connect ourselves to others to build that instant rapport. We'll be right back, a 90-Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim
after this message. Here I am again at the bubble tea bar. Oh, being single is not so bad. You go to parties when you want. You have the freedom to do what you want. But I want someone to share my life with. I'm afraid to get hurt again. Keep your head down. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Oh, no. Pretend you didn't see her. She's attractive. But probably not my type. She's probably a Scorpio. Too controlling. But she sure is pretty.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan, and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about instant rapport. How to get it. One, it always takes knowing yourself first. Know yourself first before you know others, and then you can connect the two. And we'll talk more about that. We are talking about the plan on how to get from who we are into what our plan is, to connect who we are to our plan in order for us to then connect to others. We want to do our own who we are, and we have a list of things, spirit, beliefs, thoughts, emotions. We can go into that in more detail. But once you get through that, what do you want? What do you want personally? What do you want professionally? What do you want for your family? What do you want in your relationship? If you're
friends,
a couple.
Yeah, friends, community. What do you want for your community, where you live?
What's your vision? Right.
And also, this is something important that people, if you have opportunity, take your time, take a paper and start to write a list, okay, for what you want for each, and evaluate if you do every day something to achieve that, because we want so many good stuff, but our life may be walking in different directions.
And what's interesting about what you just said is that if you start writing down what you want for your community, what do you want for your family, what do you want for your friends, and you realize that where you are living doesn't allow you to do that, then you either have to say, okay, I want to try to change my community,
mm-hmm.
or I change my community by changing where I'm living.
Yeah.
Right?
And for mental health, I feel better to do something for the community versus sitting and criticize, oh, it's so bad they do this, it's so bad. And this is more the people doing. So it's invest energy and feel angry in the system and the community versus do something.
Do you know what the mayor did this week?
No.
Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. Oh, I heard what happened in school.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at Board of Education and the school and the mayor and politics and different things that are going on in the neighborhood, and you go, is this the situation that I want to be in? Can I make a change? Do I want to get more involved? Or do I say, you know what, this isn't for me in my plan, in my vision, in my future? And if you can, if you're able to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is almost like an AA episode, which is you need to know what you can change.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then decide how you're going to deal with it. If you can't change it, then you can't worry about it.
Yeah,
right? You need to accept the things you can't mm-hmm. change. And change the things that you can change that you can't accept.
There you go.
Right? What else do we have? So we're talking about our plans and where we want, what we want, and potentially where we want, but where do we want to be in the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next year? Right?
In full vacation year. Oh, sorry. Right. Different show.
And then from there, we want to move into what's our mission, our vision, objectives, values, how, measurements. Measurements are really important. How do you know you're actually moving towards
mm-hmm.
where you want
so
to go?
So if you wrote something now, you can check in the next year and 6 months and say, what I did. I mean, maybe you feel worse or you feel happy because you achieved minimum one of these steps.
So one of mine is I want to retire by the time I'm 82.
Okay, so you're right.
So I got to work. I want to retire by the time I'm 82. And part of this is a joke, but part of this is serious, is that sometimes good work, valuable work that you can enjoy is really part of life and something that can keep you going. Maybe my work will be something different and I really never want to retire, but maybe I want to change what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I want to retire when I'm 50. I want to, you know, work on figuring out a way to retire when I'm 50.
Okay.
So what is that plan? And then the measurement is, what do I need? And if you ever talk to an investment counselor or insurance agent or somebody, they'll do this exercise with you where, what do you need for retirement? How much do you think you'll need? And then you start working through that, and you look at where your 401k and where your retirement account and where Social Security is if it's going to be in existence.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at all that and go, you know what? I'm never, ever going to be able to retire. Or if I move to another location, maybe I can retire on these things given that. And then you have a measurement of, am I moving towards that goal, right?
Yeah, no, so it's not retires, maybe change your career. I see people, and I see the one doctor that I read his book, that he have a 24-year do surgery, and he mm-hmm. said, and I guess he have 50 when he say, I am young, I can change my career. He become a speaker, he become, no more go to the hospital, no more coding brain, mm. all the stuff. It's not be retires, maybe do something different in your life and you keep going moving and these stuff.
How do I do something different? How do I do that? How do I decide, if I don't know much about this thing, but I think I'll enjoy it, how do I learn more about it? Is there a way I can do that?
You have to discipline, plan. Again, we go to the plan to when, how you do that.
But the good news is, and we talked about this again, every week we talk about it, is neuroplasticity, right? That our brain can grow. And when I say something new, we talked earlier in this show about Boise, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know where Boise is. I don't really know where it is. I don't know much about it. Just like I didn't know much about where we live today until we lived here.
I
and
was
now,
there in Boise.
Idaho. Were you?
Yeah, in the outlet, I told you.
Okay, so you know more about it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an example of neuroplasticity, and I call it the neuroplasticity city map. And excuse me as I have to go to the right computer here. Here we go. The neuroplasticity city map. What this is showing is population density around different cities. So where you see high spikes and wide spikes, that's where people live. So that big spike up there in the one area, that's New York. All the way to the right up there is New York. It's dense, it's wide, it's tall, it's 18 million people live in that area. Think of this map as your brain. There's certain things in your brain. Say New York City is your job, and you've been at your job for 20 years. You have a bunch of neurons, let's call them people, who communicate with each other, call them synapses, and they're talking a lot. There's a lot of activity there. So you actually know that thing. New York City is not Boise, Idaho, mm-hmm. right? I don't know much about Boise, Idaho. There's not a lot of people living there. They're not talking to each other. There's not a lot of neurons. There's not a lot of synapses. But if I start going on the internet and I Google Boise, Idaho, if I go to, what's that other, YouTube, and I do walking tour of Boise, Idaho, I go, what are the top 10 things to do in Boise, Idaho? What to avoid in Boise, Idaho? Who's the mayor of Boise, Idaho? What's the number one, what do houses sell for? What do places rent for? What's the restaurants? And I start researching that, I can start building what I'll call in my mind a population area of Boise, Idaho. I can build people and communication, which are the neurons and the synapses around Boise, Idaho. And suddenly, if we were to look back at that map, there would be a spike at Boise, Idaho, where we had a lot of neurons and a lot of synapse activity, that area would grow and we would learn something new about Boise. We search for a place to go on vacation. We may say, I've never been here before, but we want to go there, but we want to go there and understand it before we go. So we look on YouTube, we look in Google, we ask friends, maybe we get a book at the store. Maybe there's something, it's a different country, so it's a different culture. So we want to learn a little bit about the culture. We want to learn about things we should maybe say or not say. Do we rent a car? Do we take the train?
Yeah.
This is the same thing with anything you do. I want to open a coffee shop when I retire. I don't know anything about it, but I think I want to just be able to get up in the morning, open it up from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., be able to talk to people, sell coffee, sell bagels, and that's it. I just want to have a little store somewhere, but I'm scared. I don't know anything about it. But if I look at the next 5 years trying to learn something about it, I can create that Boise, Idaho city brain synapses and neurons in my head about the coffee shop. And I can get more comfortable about it. And then maybe I don't want to do it. But at least now I've learned.
Mm-hmm. And you have this area with neuroplasticity.
Right.
Work and more knowledge. And you move to different way.
And you at least you know that. So how many people during COVID, where they were stuck at home, learned something new? Maybe they studied a new language. Maybe they studied guitar. Maybe they did some research on the dangers of birds flying into buildings.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
Maybe they did some laser reflections off glass. You know, but you do something when you have time. And if you know you have 2 years between now and something, if you do a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, you grow that. What does this have to do with rapport? Mm-hmm. Oh, a number of things. Just remember, right, if somebody has a different opinion than you on something, it's because they spent their time in Boise and not New York. They grew up in a certain way, in a certain environment with predispositions to certain things, maybe their family, their culture, the friends they had, maybe how they were born. But if they have certain views, it's because they experienced everything in their life to have those views. They didn't just come up with those views for you to argue with them. So the part of this rapport is understanding and accepting of differences. You may not accept the view, but hopefully you accept the person. You might not accept, you know, what they support, but maybe you understand that they got there in their way. The other thing is,
it's because the people, I hear something that somebody say, you know, are what are you thinking? So you are the person, and you, in one moment, you think you have one thought. But this is a moment. You know, are what you thought.
And if we never changed what we thought, how many people have changed their thoughts? All of a sudden, they thought this way for so many years, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I was mm-hmm. wrong, mm-hmm. and now I'm this way.
Yeah.
So just like they may be wrong, maybe we're wrong. Be humble. Humble is a very good place to be, living in humbleness.
Yeah.
So what else we have here? So that was the neuroplasticity city map. When you meet somebody, now how does this all fit in? When you meet somebody, you connect to what, these are icebergs. I know it's really difficult to tell they're icebergs, but these are icebergs floating, and you see somebody from how they act, you see them from their face forward, you see their body language, you see how they speak to you, but what you don't normally see is their family of origin, their culture, their belief, their social connections, their maybe socioeconomic situation, how they grew up, what is their education, what's their knowledge, what are their skills, their abilities. You don't know that.
Yeah.
So how do you communicate with somebody that you don't know any of these things about?
And it's difficult to do in the first 10 or 20 minutes that you meet somebody, you know?
It's difficult to, but the point that we're going to try to make is that if you spend a little time getting to know those things about somebody, it helps you have that rapport and connection. Where are you from? How did you come here? Do you have family? Very simple things. There's so many programs out there, motivational programs and connection,
also, communication. I remember the ID in Dallas, a little seminar to this for Spanish people. The technique they use in this moment, typical, you know, in the Spanish group meet in one restaurant. Somebody talk, interchange business card to know each other. But if it's somebody is timid, it's difficult to say, oh, I have the company for clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have the real estate agent. So that is so formal that people don't want to, take out your glass of drink and talking with somebody. You don't want to do that. So in this seminar, I do some practice. They say, okay, take out this question. I put people and move the people and random partners and use the techniques. How is your family? How is this? And all these that you put in the screen. And the end of the day, this exercise, the people say, oh, it's more relaxing because we know what kind of question. And now we're talking about my family, his family.
Yes.
And connect by human versus by business, because they feel like always I sell, you have to buy the house with me, or you have to have insurance from my company, versus I like this person, I want to have business. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah. You want to trust. Number one is trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I remember the program by Dale Carnegie. I think it was How to Win Friends and Influence People. Part of it was training on how to talk to people about what do they do for a living, where are they from, where do they live, what's their family like. And part of it is pre-programmed questions. But it also is to break the ice and, you know, maybe I like this person. Before I try to talk about something that I'm nervous talking about, let me see if we get along. And then it turns into, hey, what do you do for work? I do this. What do you do? This. Yeah. And now we see if there's a connection.
More natural, right? Versus selling.
So rapport comes from the underneath connections. It comes from how you can understand. It might not be that you have the same culture, but it might be that you understand the culture. So that way you're careful on what you say. You know what examples to use in a conversation that may be more meaningful. I think my next slide here that we did earlier, well, this will get into it, but we'll go back and we'll go backwards a little bit and then we'll go forwards.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? So when you connect above the ice, the words that we use for communication, and this is a study, or this has been known since 1971, Dr. Albert Mehrabian, who was a behavioral psychologist, came up with this percentage numbers, that 7% of our communication is words, 38% is the tone of voice, and 55% is body language. Can you believe that? Seriously, that the communication we have with other people, that 55, I can't even speak. You see, the words aren't necessary. Body language is more important than anything. If you want to develop confidence, if you want to develop communication skills, your body language, how you communicate, that is congruent, right? Mm-hmm. That it matches what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
It matches what you're trying to say.
No exaggerating.
Not exaggerating. Don't talk with your hands like this.
Yeah.
Don't be a politician like this.
Mm-hmm.
You do what matches and what's natural, but allow it to be natural. Don't be nervous. The point is body language is very important. The tone of voice is very important too. If you talk like this and you're really just nervous all the time, it can be, what is that called, disconcerting? It can be concerning. It can make someone feel anxious. So that is important too, your tone of voice. In, what is that called, Toastmasters, they teach you vocal variety. You know what vocal variety is not just being monotone. Use your voice to accent things that you want to make points on. Be quieter and louder, depending on what you want to say. But your tone of voice and how that is matching what you're trying to communicate helps the message. And again, the words are not as important as the rest of it. Not that they're not, because if you use the wrong words entirely and not anything that actually means something, then that's a waste. But if you say dog versus pet versus chihuahua.
No, but also it depends. If you are in phone call, you cannot see body language.
That's
okay?
True.
So the word has to be high because...
Hold on, I want to send you a picture. Mm-hmm. And then you send them a picture.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. So it's tone and voice.
It depends on the context, yeah.
And it probably is different culturally too. And this is why we wanted you to connect culturally, connect family, connect...
Also the new generation like to test message versus voice versus tone versus word. It's just testing. And I see family in the same house texting each other, have a maybe important information, but I prefer to do testing versus talking face to face.
So I know somebody that I used to text, and they would say, "Why are you so angry?" Mm-hmm. Like, I'm crying now. I'm like, I just asked you a question. I wasn't upset. And they're like, you were yelling at me. No, I'm not yelling at you. And I say in all caps, I'm not yelling at you.
Yeah. What does this animal mean?
Oh, it's so wrong. I thought the emoji meant I love you. And you're saying, no, it's I'm yelling at you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, knowing their language, right? You know, we might not know like exactly what our kids know and or I might not know exactly what you know. So if I text you something, you're like, what is he trying to say here? That's so mean.
I always laugh. So it's easy to fixing everything.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about communication, what's on the level, what's underneath the level, and how to get better rapport with people instantly. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about instant rapport, how to communicate with confidence, with clarity, and with conciseness. Conciseness?
Consistency.
Consistency? All those things. With gelatin. There's always room for gelatin.
And vitamin C.
Vitamin C. today's show was going to be all about food and all these things. There's like 30 food groups, at least 30. There's loads and loads of foods that are very well accepted in the United States that are actually illegal in other countries. And we were going to start off with that, and we're like, you know what, that gets
so
into a lot
much,
of research.
Yeah, so
there's too much, actually. That would be like five shows.
Too much food, yeah.
Yeah. So let's get back to this. We were talking about words, tone of voice, and body language. That words... The ability to communicate with words depends on the language and knowledge of the person we're working with. The tone of voice that we use needs to be based upon the personality of the other person, not our own. The programming that they have, as well as our programming. Meaning, if you know how they're programmed, you need to change your tone of voice based upon them, not how you feel you should be talking. And then body language is going to be based upon your emotional state, but you should look at their emotional state. And would your selection of body language fit their emotional state or their culture? We were talking about some cultures, people like to be really close when they talk to each other. And to us, maybe we have this 4-foot zone and we feel comfortable here, but in other cultures, maybe distance is seen as being respectful, or maybe it's respectful, and maybe it's lowering yourself rather than standing up, and maybe instead of facing straight on, turning sideways. That there's a lot of body language that will change based upon the person you're working with. communication between people, a lot of times it's like a radio tuned to the wrong station, where we're broadcasting to the other person, they're broadcasting back to us, they're transmitting, but we're like not on the same wavelength that they are. We don't have the same background. It's like we're speaking a different language, because we are speaking a different language. We are miscommunicating a majority of the time that we are communicating. We're miscommunicating. How can we ever be understood? Jim, how can we ever be understood?
It's not easy.
It's not easy at all. We are always speaking a different language, and we're not talking about Spanish, English, German. We're talking about somebody's background, the language they use in their background and culture. What a word means to them is based upon, all words mean something based upon other words.
But and also is also how you are connect yourself is the way that you connect somebody. Because I have a friend that she's really disconnected with her. She's so distracted. And when I try to talk with her, it is difficult to follow because she be distracted every time and I lose connection. Mm. So the rapport is lose power because the person is knowing the moment and the time, the body language, see your shoulder is so distracted. So you lose the power.
So what you're saying is it takes two people. Mm-hmm. Communication takes two people. Rapport takes two people. You can't have rapport by yourself.
No.
So both people have to be committed to rapport.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So how do I learn more about the other person? How do I understand and communicate better if we're going to be misunderstood all the time? First, we should seek to understand what they're saying. Not that they need to understand what we're saying. We have to understand them so we can then communicate in a way that is understandable to them. Ask questions. And by the way, that's like a Stephen Covey, the number one thing there. Seek to understand. Understand first before you try to be understood. Ask questions. Ask questions of the other person. Restate and paraphrase what they're saying. Understand the person first before you try to communicate. Are they a preschooler versus a post-grad? And that doesn't mean are they really a preschooler. In the subject matter that you're speaking about, are they on the same level? You don't want to talk down to somebody, but you don't want to talk over them either. You want to talk on their level, and you want to ask, How can I better communicate this to you? That you don't want to assume that they know everything and you don't want to assume that they don't know anything. So there is a, where are they on that level of education, knowledge of the subject matter you're speaking? Are they an earthling or are they a Martian? So if somebody's from Mars or from somewhere else that you're not, you need to understand that there's a whole underlying how you lead a conversation. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about objects, something, the glass falls over. Mm-hmm. Oh, you knocked the glass over, right? We were talking about who is responsible, that in English, it's Lizette knocked the glass over, and in Spanish, the glass fell over,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So it's the language that's underlying the culture may create a way of talking. And if I say, hey, Lizette, you knocked your glass over, it sounds like I am accusing her. And it's just common sense to me that Lizette knocked her glass over. Actually, I almost did.
Yeah, he did.
Just before the show, I took this brain we have over here. This is going to be a new device that we use later in the show. Not today's show,
and
but a different show.
Here,
and that glass.
Trapping almost in the air.
Yeah, so my brain knocked into the water. So we had water on the brain for a little bit. And
I say the brain did.
Yeah, the brain did it. It wasn't me, but I was pushing the brain. And then the political, religious, socioeconomic, cultural, etc. of the person. I used to always, when I was in sales for 25 years, and I used to talk about politics and religion with my customers, or at least my prospects.
And this time, Human Resource Department.
They didn't care. No Human Resource Department.
Okay.
But it wasn't a trying to state my point of view and convincing of somebody. Of something. My statement was always, I believe that most people have a lot more in common and that our different views have a lot more commonality and that there's a lot of connection rather than differences. I wasn't looking for differences. I was looking for similarities. And then when we talk about, hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from India. What's your belief? What's your background? It was in almost honor of their society and their culture. Not, oh, that's wrong. You need to be this. Or in politics, what do you believe? Oh, that's really cool. You know, do you support whomever? And it wasn't to be accusatory. It was to understand, because then later on, if you're trying, you get to the selling situation, you might say, you know what, this is how they feel about things. So my presentation needs to be moved into this direction so they understand it better and they accept it better. And then if I'm trying to draw on the language they would use and understand, I know the way they understand things is different than I do. So I change how I speak to speak their language. And then I ask questions to make sure I'm understanding what they're saying.
Okay.
Okay? So this is how I thought. And to me, it worked. It, you know, being able to talk this way worked. It might not work for everyone. There are some people who are too hard in their beliefs. So lastly, in keeping with that, people are how they are based upon their upbringing and environment. Okay, so maybe there's some inborn thing too, but people are how they are. This is things we believe. People are how they are based upon their upbringing and environment. They didn't have the same origin story. Walk in their baby shoes. We need to be understanding and forgiving of people who have different positions than us because they believe what they believe because of how they got to where they believe. It's not that they know everything we know and then they decided to be argumentative with us. They learned everything they knew and came up with their opinion. We learned everything we learned and came up with our opinion. There might be like inborn biases and all these things from evolutionary psychology and biology, but people don't know what we know, so we can't judge them based upon knowing what we know.
Yeah.
So we need to take it down a notch and try to figure out where we can have that commonality. I don't even think we need to get into this part. Let's zap right through there. Let's go right to this. How about that? So we talked about who you are. In your mind, your genetic program, your family program, your social and cultural program, your emotions. Oh, Lizette's going to talk about this because she was teaching me about this just before the show. Let's talk about emotions. What does this mean, like the types?
Okay, you can keep that. So we have many shows talking about different type of the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be angry, you can be sad, you can be scared. But the emotion, you have, I believe, two decisions. So the emotion controls you or the emotion puts you to do something, action. Okay? So the way the people, for example, you can be sad, maybe your emotion take you freezing and not do nothing. Or maybe the sad make I have a friend that he say, when I was sad, I wrote a lot of poem.
Mm.
And it's so good because the sadness make the what is it called? The musa? Or when you have
the muse,
chew up. And then doing a lot of poem and pain. So the art become with this. So is the emotion can be you control you. Or you direct the emotion to do action.
To help you.
Yeah. So that's just the main.
So in all this and all we've said, it is very important to first connect with yourself, understand yourself, connect with others by understanding them, make a plan for your life, and enjoy the way. The whole idea behind Instant Rapport is that we're on this path with others. The better we connect, the better we understand, and the more rapport we have, the happier, healthier, and more beneficial our relationships are with those around us, those we love, and those we come in contact with. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
See you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.